O Heavenly Father, we ask for your blessing this day on this message that helps us practically as we sit down to table for our Thanksgiving feasts and even feasts to come, whether it's a wedding feast or a Eucharistic feast, that we may follow in your example to find humility in all things, that we might be exalted. Amen. So we all know the menu, probably been shopping for it during the week, the menu for a traditional North American Thanksgiving feast. Or so you got your turkey, your mashed potatoes, your corn, maybe some squash, and lots of gravy. Dessert is usually pumpkin or sometimes apple pie or both. But our reading for today suggests another item to be added to the menu, and that item, as I forewarned you, is a generous serving of humble pie. Think of your reasons why this is necessary. Whatever gathering you attend with family and friends, whether it's Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter, someone's birthday, or a happy anniversary, it can be a struggle to control the passions and the pride. And if you ever talk to someone in the mental health field or even your regular GP, they'll tell you that, or even someone on the police department, that's when most of the crises happen, is in the holidays and people are about to sit down to their feast. Pride and passion have a lot to do with that, a lot of problems ensue. Now, we might not have much protocol surrounding being seated according to rank in 21st century North America, but we still might struggle with accepting that perhaps we don't need to be first in line or have special rights to have more than our fair share or dominate the conversation or have our needs catered to in some way by having the start time for us or the location for us and all of these other details. Truly, the Christian challenge is to be humble, to follow the example of our Lord Jesus. And that, my friends, it transcends all culture in every time. Think of your specific reasons why generous portions of humble pie need to be served at your feast. And if you can't, then perhaps you need some private tutoring or more careful observations of how some social situations are completely hijacked by the selfish. Now, the real problem comes, however, in that, well, pride, the opposite of humility, very much easy to see in others, it's not so easy to see in yourself. Then pray. Pray that, O Lord, may your law be a mirror into my soul. And then ask yourself, how much do I dislike it when somebody snubs me or cuts off my conversation just before I was going to get to the real important stuff, or maybe they refuse to take any notice of me whatsoever, or shove their oar in, or patronize me, or show off. We might ask ourselves also whether we truly believe that discussing our own accomplishments is any more worthy of attention than, say, the accomplishments of the child at the table who's just learned to ride a bike or speak some rudimentary French or completing the first grade. We all fit somewhere on this continuum of the selfish because, well, we all sit on the continuum of the sinful, and we're all in need of salvation. Left on our own, we would destroy our relationships and lives in the here and now and in the eternity of life to come. But thanks be to God for Jesus. He lives up to the very meaning of his name. And the meaning of his name, by the way, is the one who saves. He embraces the greatest humility imaginable. And it's not because he didn't have the ability to shine. It's not because he couldn't point his finger and become the center of attention at every turn. He had humility that he might become the perfect sacrifice for our sins. Jesus knows the strongest, most serious temptations to pride. Make these stones turn into bread, the tempter says. Or jump off the pinnacle of this temple and as you fall, the angels will catch you lest you dash your foot against a stone. Call upon 12 legions of angels to make short work of your captors and your tormentors. Or come down from that cross and wreak havoc on all those who torment you. Show them your power. But our Lord, we know, succumbed to none of these temptations. He knew that the greatest power would be shown forth in weakness. That the greatest power is shown forth in humility. His was the way of the cross. His way was the way of denying self. There's a special way that St. Paul describes it. I think that Philippians 2 is very apropos here, and I'm going to read the section. Have this mind among yourselves. Sitting down at the table, have this mind, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. More than one commentator, reflecting on such imagery, recalls here the scene of the Lord's Supper. Well, we recalled that scene even in that sermon hymn, right? Remember, the phrase there was all about he took the towel, he served. On his last night with the disciples, he took a towel and basin and washed their dirty feet, instructing them to follow his example of servanthood with one another. At every feast, whether it's Thanksgiving or Christmas or Easter or otherwise, may it be our goal to find such humility. Such is found at the church's feast. It's not much by worldly standards, a bit of bread, hardly even a shot of wine. But you receive the whole Christ therein, the true body and blood of Jesus. His body, his soul, his divinity, we receive his work. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He shed his blood for us, and we partake of it. And we can't help but be forgiven, but also transformed. The benefits of that work are transferred to us. We receive the forgiveness of Christ, and then we might begin to grow into the character of Christ. That's what being a Christian means. You become more Christ-like. As he had great humility, you also are challenged to grow in that humility. Now, humility, though, it comes with power. The second half of Jesus' statement in our text, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And it comes forth, too, in Philippians. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. You know, such may our reward be also. We also will have a reward. It's still a reward, but by undeserved grace rather than merit. But such may be our future also under Christ and beside Christ. He is our brother, and we shall reign with him. Even as the prophet Daniel describes it, and those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But it all begins of a generous serving of humble pie. And don't forget to take one for yourself too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. O Lord Jesus, show us your path, the way of the cross and of self-sacrifice, the way of humility. Help us to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.